Will you turn with me? I have two scripture readings. First of all, to John's Gospel, chapter 19. John 19, please. Let your eye run down the chapter, if you will. Verse 17. And he, that is the Lord Jesus, and bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him. Two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Let your eye run down just for time's sake, please. The verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. And when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already. They brake not his legs, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Turn with me, please, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, please. Chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. You know, the Lord will bless the reading of his word. Let us just bow in a word of prayer, please. Father, we thank you for those you've brought out this evening. We thank you for the blessing that you've given us even already to be in your presence. As we've lifted our voices and sang, as Willie has ministered in song, and we thank you for his gift and his ministry. And we thank you, Lord, for his willingness to share with us tonight as we glorify God together. So, Father, we pray now that you would speak to our hearts and individually, Lord, you would minister to where, Lord, your word would find that lodging place. Lord, if there's one or anyone here tonight not saved nor right with you, who have never made their calling and election sure, we pray tonight that this would be it, the night when they'd give their lives over to Christ. And Lord, that you would come into them and forgive them of their sins. And Lord, that you would seal them by your Holy Spirit of promise. Glorify your Son and take this man up in your spirit and use me for your glory. For Jesus' name's sake, I ask it. Amen. Amen. We want to speak this evening on the precious redeeming blood. The precious redeeming blood. Peter is writing this letter of instruction, of rehearsal, and of encouragement to Christian Israelites, those who have been saved by grace through faith in Christ, who have come from the Israelite background. Chapter 1 tells us in verse 1 that they are strangers. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, he says, you were those who were scattered. The gospel has reached you, and you have been saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. That's who he speaks to in this epistle. In verse 2, he tells them, rehearses with them, that they are the elect of God. They are the chosen of God. Verse 2 it says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling, notice, of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Peter uses the word elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. This word elect is the Greek word eklektos, and it means you've been chosen. You have been selected for salvation. And now this gospel which is preached, God has called those who are his, for whom his son has died for, has called them to himself. Peter, writing to them, mentions this. First of all, as we said, they are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. You mark that down. Secondly, they are saved or elect through the sanctification of the Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, it's unto their obedience to come when called. That is unto the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Someone once put it like this. The Father thought it, the Spirit wrought it, and the Son brought it. Notice, if you will, first of all, the Father's knowledge. Elect according to the Father's knowledge. This is the word for knowledge here is prognosko, or prognosis is where we get our English word from. It's an aspect of God's omniscient power. In other words, that he is all-knowing. And Peter is saying, you were known to God before you were saved. You were known to God and called out from the number when Christ died for you and shed his precious blood for you. This word prognoskio or prognosis means not only an aspect of his omniscience, a foreknowing. It means a foreseeing, having foresight. So God the Father, he says, has had all of these. The prognosis is a prediction of an expected end. Christ didn't come just to see how you'd get on. Christ came to redeem your soul. Christ came to call you unto salvation by the preaching of the word, by the Spirit of the living God. Notice here, notice the word according to the Father's foreknowing, or the foreknowing of God the Father. See the word according? It's a little word kata. Kata. And it gives the idea of a downward pressing. It gives the idea of a dominance. So Peter is saying, your salvation is through the downward pressing or the dominance of God's electing foreknowledge. The thing about it is, these men knew nothing of Christ until they heard the gospel. Like you knew nothing of Christ until you and I hear the gospel of saving grace in him. It's the dominance, it is the pressing down, so to speak, of God and his foreknowledge, sending his Son who shed his blood and now speaks to us through the Spirit. Notice here, if you will, the salvation is off the Lord completely, fully, totally. Notice here, there's no conjunction with you here. It is God calls you, you may fight. God calls you, you may wrestle, you may deny. But God's electing love and God's grace upon you, you will come to a saving knowledge of him. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. He wrestled with me. I've seen demons climb up walls. I've seen people turn to demons before me. My head was turned. I didn't know where I was coming or going. I was depressed in spirit. But yet he still broke through. And he still saved my soul. I don't know where you were the night that you were saved. But I'll never forget where Christ met me. I will never forget where Christ met me. The Father's foreknowledge. Secondly, the sanctification of the Spirit is mentioned. The word here for sanctification is the word hagiosmos, and it means the separating unto God. The Holy Ghost, why save me? Why not the man who's doing better down the street? Why not the man who's even going to church? He's a churchy fella. He's not a bad lad. Why save me? Why save you? Yet the Holy Spirit comes and he separates us unto God. As it were, he put like a circle around us, and God claimed us. He says, mine, mine, you're mine. I love the hymn, dear Savior, thou art mine. How sweet the thought to me. Let me repeat thy name and lift my heart to thee. You're mine, mine, mine. I know thou art mine. Savior, dear Savior, I know thou art mine. I love that hymn. But you know what's even better? To hear him saying to me, no, you're mine, son. You are mine. Yes, he says, you are mine. He said to Israel, thou art mine through the prophet Isaiah. I claim you as my own. And he said to Ken Davidson one time, you're mine and I claim you as mine. Praise God for the salvation that he wrought in our hearts, for that which he has done in our breast and drawn us through the Spirit. Hear this word for sanctification of the Spirit is a separating unto God, a set apartness for God. It is a setting apart work of the Spirit. He works in you. Do you know what makes you have an interest even in the things of God? Do you know what gives you the interest even that you know that you're not right with God and that you need to be saved? It is the separating work of the Holy Ghost, the regeneration of the Spirit to make you alive unto him that you might see Christ and that you might realize your need of salvation. Are you saved tonight? Are you Christ tonight? Notice here, thirdly, there's a sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And the sprinkling of the blood is an Old Testament type. For example, it's in Leviticus chapters 1, 3, 4, 5, 7, 14, 16, and 17. Talks about the sprinkling of blood. The sprinkling of blood over the altar. The sprinkling of blood at the door of the holy place. The sprinkling of blood even over the people. The sprinkling of blood when the high priest comes out of that holy place. The sprinkling of blood over the furniture in the tabernacle. Speaks about the blood, the blood, the blood. The sprinkling of blood. It's the same word that is used for the blood in the doorpost, the door lintels. When the Lord told him that Israel to take the blood of a lamb and dip hyssop in it and put it upon the doorpost. I know we tend to think it's like a paintbrush, but it was really like this. And it was dripping off the ends of the bush and sprinkled like this. Sprinkling off the blood. And this, Peter takes this because these people would understand, these Christian Israelites would understand from the Old Testament the ways of the tabernacle. And they would get this. Yes, the sprinkling of blood. That I am sprinkled, as it were, in the blood of Jesus Christ. The precious blood. The redeeming blood. The powerful blood. The holy blood. The matchless blood. The blood of Jesus Christ. And so in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 28, if you want to turn with me. Chapter 11 and verse 28. Notice what it says. Let's go to verse 27. By faith, this is Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. That is the hyssop. And here the Hebrew writer is referring back to that time when Israel came out of Egypt. The sprinkling of the blood. Go with me to chapter 12, please. Chapter 12, please. Verse 22. But ye are come to Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, and to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Notice, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Now he's talking about, I've told you this before, this isn't Abel's blood that was shed by Cain. Although the Lord says, your brother's blood cries to me from the ground. The blood he's speaking of here with Abel is the lamb's blood when Cain took the fruit of the field and the work and labors of his hand. Look how good I am. Look at the way I've been able to work to appease God. God says, I've told you to come by the blood of the lamb. God says to bring a simple lamb's blood. Take the lamb, you cut its throat, and offer it for a blood offering for me. And Abel done that. So when it's speaking of the blood of Abel, it means the blood offering that Abel brought from a little lamb. He's saying the blood of Christ speaks of better things than that sacrifice that Abel brought right from the very beginning. So if you will, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1 again, please. And verse 18, let me just get a wee drink. I'm nearly out of juice here. Could someone give me a wee bottle, please? Thank you. Notice what it says in verse 18. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things. Notice the term. Thank you, Lloyd. You're not redeemed with corruptible things. As silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers. Peter makes a distinction here with them. He makes a distinction here with tabernacle worship, temple worship. He makes a distinction here between the tradition that even as we read weeks ago where the Jewish leaders held to tradition rather than the commandments of God. And here Peter's saying, you're not redeemed by your tradition. And you and I are not redeemed by tradition. The tradition of going to church. The tradition of going to Sunday school. The tradition of doing good works. The tradition of being in good places. The tradition of trying to live right. We are not redeemed by our tradition. Peter says it's not in your vain conversation or the vanity of your lifestyle. He says you are redeemed, not from your corruptible things and silver and gold and your vain lifestyle received by the tradition of your fathers. But, he says to them, you're redeemed by what? With the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Take note here the word redeemed. Verse 18, for as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things. The word redeemed here is the word lutrao, lutrao, and it means to release on the receipt of a ransom. To release on the receipt of a ransom. Peter is saying, you were under judgment of the Father. You were under the judgment of Jehovah. You were under judgment, you were cast away. You were dispersed for your sin, for your ungodliness, and there's nothing could redeem you. That's what Peter's saying. There had to be something paid as a release for your ransom. Something had to be paid. And hence when Jesus came and he shed his blood, we read in John 19, he cried from the cross, it is finished. It means paid in full. Paid in full means all your churchianity, all your church going, all your rituals, all your ceremony, all your own sacrifice, your good works and your good living, your alms and your deeds and your trying will never redeem your soul. Never. But trusting in the blood of Christ, trusting in the blood of the Lord Jesus, believing that he paid your debt, he cried, it is finished. Tetelestai is the word. And he says, it is finished. Tetelestai. Paid in full. What was paid in full? My debt of sin. What was paid in full? Your debt of sin. And hence, since he's paid it all on the cross at Calvary and shedding the blood from his very own veins, then he can cry, "It is finished, Father. I've done what I came to do. I've come to fulfill your own will." And brothers and sisters and friends tonight, you and I can try and think of something if we want. But what about this added on? And you know, to add anything, an old Puritan says, to add anything to the work of Christ on the cross, he says, is an abomination. You undo what Christ has done, so to speak, if you try to add anything of your own volition. Here, lutrao, for redeemed, it means to release on the receipt of custom, of a ransom. Jesus shed his blood, and he says to the Father, "Father, that fella Ken Davidson, you know what his lifestyle's like. You know the way he's got on. You know the sin of him." He says, "But I paid his debt in full. There's the ransom. There's what the payment required." And the Father says to me, "Son, from before there was a sinner on the earth in Adam, there was a Savior in heaven in Christ." And he says, "Son, you've paid it all." Ken Davidson goes free. I'm free tonight. I'm not perfect, I didn't say that. But I'm free. I'm free from judgment. I'm free from the penalty. I'm free from the wrath of God. I'm free. And if you're saved tonight, you're free. But if you're not saved tonight, Jesus paid your debt and you must place your hope and trust in him. Listen, in Deuteronomy 15 and in Deuteronomy 24 and 18, the Lord uses these words. He says, "Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee." The Lord thy God redeemed thee. As much as I couldn't save myself, Israel and the Bible couldn't save themselves either. And it took God to bring them out. And he didn't bring them out by raising up a mighty army with chariots and warriors and soldiers and with the horses. He didn't raise them up a multi-million man army to say, "Go release my people." He said to Moses, "Tell the people to get a spotless lamb, to put its blood in a basin, and dip in the hyssop, and put it on the blood, on the doorposts." He says, "Tonight, I'm passing through Egypt. I'm passing through, and the firstborn will die under the curse that they're under." He says, "But when I see the blood, I will pass over you." Christ is our Passover. Paul says, Christ our Passover is sacrifice for us. And hence our Passover lamb, as John the Baptist declared over him, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Here the Lamb of God bled and died for us. And the doorposts and the door lintels of my heart, the doorposts and the door lintels of my spirit and soul, they have been covered in the blood of the Lamb. And the day I stand before him, when the devil would come, the old accuser of the brethren, and would say, "Look at him. He's not perfect. He's done this, or he's like that, or the other thing." The Father will look at me through the blood of Jesus, and he will turn and say, "Sin? Look at his sin. Look at his sin. Sin? What sin? I see no sin. All I can see is the blood of my Son." The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from how much? Will you shout it out? Well, not the devil hear it. All sin. Praise God for the cleansing power of the blood. There's still power in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, sure, make you want to jump up and down and all, wouldn't it? Make you want to jump up and down. I feel like jumping over that pulpit and spinning on my head and spitting nickels. The blood of the Lamb. You know, Andrew said there's a great subject. He said this morning, tonight, preaching on the blood. And he's right. I love preaching on prophecy, and I love preaching things up to date, and I love to talk about, I love to minister to the church that more as I did this morning. I love all of that. But seem to get down to the person and the work and the blood of Christ, oh, there's nothing like it. Brothers and sisters, see, Christians, some Christians say, "I'll not go tonight. He's just going to preach about the blood. Sure, I'm saved. What do I need to hear about the blood for? Do I need to hear about the blood? I need to be reminded every day that there's still wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. I need reminded. There's power in the blood of the Lamb. Notice here, turn with me to Psalm 49, please. Psalm 49. Verse 6. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches. Now take note, the richest of the Elon Musks, 700 and I think it's 26 billion he's worth. Billion. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches. Notice, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. God's word says you can't even pay a release payment to get them off from the wrath of God. Elon Musk came with 700 and whatever it is, billion pounds, and he came to God and he says, there you are, I'll do that just for Ken Davison to go free. The Father would say, still not enough. There's no amount of money can redeem a soul. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? It's the words of Jesus. What would you give in exchange for your soul? Sin, none can redeem you. Nothing can redeem you. If you own the whole world, if you're Elon Musk and all the other elitists together, they still couldn't buy the soul. But Jesus came and he shed his blood and he paid for every one of us. There's power. There's power. There's wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. I think we should sing it. There is power, power,
wonder-working power in the blood.
Yes!
Of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the blood. And the blood
nothing like it. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ paid our debt. The ransom has been met. And the sinner goes free who puts their trust in him. What a Savior. What a Lord. You know, here in Psalm 49 and verse 7, none of them can by any means redeem his brother nor give to God a ransom for him. The word here is the word kofar in the Hebrew text. And it also means atonement. A covering. None can even cover him from the wrath of God that he may go free. Here, this word here for kofar, and there's a very similar word to it as well for atonement or covering. It's the same word that's first used in Genesis chapter 6 and in verse 4, where Noah's told to build an ark, and as he builds the ark, he has to cover it with pitch. P-I-T-C-H, within and without. Make it watertight, for all who are in the ark will be saved. And it's the same word for atonement. It's the same word, kafir. And that's the very first time it's used. Here we find atonement even in Noah's ark being mentioned. The Father says there's none. There's no one can pay a ransom. Doesn't matter how much for your soul. 2 Corinthians 5 verses 18 and 19 says, Paul writes these words, all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Notice, it's all of him. The reconciliation is all of him. And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To it, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What Paul is saying here is we are reconciled away from God, now brought back in, just as Peter is writing. We've been redeemed. The redeeming precious blood. And we're reconciled back to the Father through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is not teaching of what is known as the doctrine of expiation here. Paul's not saying that, but that of beseeching men to be reconciled to God. He's saying, will you be reconciled to God? For the payment has been made. Paul's saying, my ministry is to see you right with God. My ministry is to see you get right with God, to see you saved under the blood of the Lamb, at one with the Father through Christ and the Spirit. That's Paul saying. Paul is saying here, I'm beseeching you, be reconciled to God. And that's our message tonight. If you don't know him as your Savior, we beseech you to get right with God. Paul is saying this solely on the grounds of what God has already wrought in Christ and done through him. And this is based on a change on the part of one party. In other words, one party needs to change and the other doesn't. That's what this is based on. One party needs to change and the other doesn't. And it's induced by an action on the part of another. So one party needs to change, one doesn't. Generally, the one who doesn't will say, then you change and we'll be together. You change and we'll work it out. You change and everything will be all right. But no, the Father who doesn't need to change, who doesn't need to change, you and I needed to change. It's his part of the working in the person of Christ. He comes to where we are. He meets us in our humanity in the person of his Son. And he sheds his blood that we might be made one and reconciled back to himself. He done it all. He done it all. Every single part of it. Notice 1 Peter 1 and 18. We're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold. Nor from our vain conversation or lifestyle. Received by the tradition of our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. The precious blood. See this word precious. I want to bring something out of it before we close this up. The word precious here is the word timios. Timios. And it means something of a great price. So in other words, something's precious, it's worth a lot. It also means someone who is held in honor and great esteem. So if you, someone is precious, maybe to a company, to a fellowship, to your family, you hold them in great esteem. Boy, they're the central part. They're precious to us. Listen. There are different ways to look at this word, precious or timios. I don't want to confuse this, so I'm going to try and do it simply as I can. We can look at it, and it is looked at in the context of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. And the context it is written in is written objectively. Would you say objectively? Objectively gives the idea of value or costliness here. It can also be, in other places, subjectively. We say subjectively. All you English teachers can keep me right here now.
And it means something honored or esteemed. And then we can look at something like this as figuratively. We just say figuratively. Something dearly beloved. And then there's metaphorically. We just say metaphorically. It's an expression that describes a person or an object or something that has similar characteristics to what you're speaking of. It's a metaphor. It's similar. But all the time, it's properly. Would you say properly? This? See, if you're tired saying it, how do you think I feel up here? Properly. I'm trying to keep you awake. I'm trying to keep you connected here. This implies that the viewpoint is presented in an appropriate, clear, and well-reasoned way. So when we speak of the blood, it's not a whimsical thing. That's what I've been doing, showing you the pattern through the scripture, the sprinkling of the blood, the reconciliation through the blood. We're doing it in a pattern, clear way that you can't miss it. It respects context and the communication standards of which the Bible would speak to us of the blood. And Peter uses this word precious, and he uses it 7 times throughout his 2 epistles. Listen, 1 Peter, this is the English word, and it changes slightly from timios to a word that's, it's really the same, entimos in different words, but it's the same sort of meaning, precious. Here, 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 7, notice what he speaks of, that the trial of your faith being more precious than of gold that perisheth. So Peter talks about precious, the trial making our faith more precious. Then in our reading, there's precious blood. In 1 Peter chapter 2, if you go to it, please, and verse 4, says about Christ who took whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, precious. Now Christ is precious to his Father. And in verse 6, it says, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, that he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. That Christ is so precious in the eyes, the Son in the eyes of his Father, that if we believe in him, we'll not be confounded, or we will not be distressed, we won't be lost. And then verse 7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. So when we believe, he is precious. But that word also means, when we believe and are saved, the preciousness of the Son to his Father is laid on us. And those of us who are saved are as precious to the Father as his Son Jesus is. Because when he looks at us, he sees him. It's the idea of this. And in chapter Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, please. And let's write on down to verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Here the divine nature when we're saved is in us. And by the way, the word nature generally gives the idea of the word physis. And it means, for example, in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says that we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And he's saying that we in our nature, our physis, our Adamic germs, so to speak, our lineage from Adam, we were sinners. And here, but it's divine nature. When we are saved, God puts his Holy Spirit in us. And his divine nature, through the Holy Ghost, helps us to live every day. To walk in the right way, even when we fail and go wrong. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. Chapter 1, yes, Second Peter 1 and 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, can you see whatever way we look at this, objectively, he's valuable. Subjectively, he's to be honored and esteemed. Figuratively, he is to be beloved and dear to every redeemed heart. Metaphorically, well, it describes, everything can describe him from the Old Testament about the blood. It is the shadow of things to come. And now we live in the substance. He has done all that the Father declared. And properly, well, properly, our viewpoint is presented as appropriate and clear and well reasoned tonight. I have to finish. Notice 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. He speaks of the precious blood of Christ. The precious blood of Christ. In Romans 3 and 25, Paul talks of propitiation through faith in his blood. Propitiation means really the mercy seat. We find the mercy seat. And again, Paul is writing of the Ark of the Covenant that was in the tabernacle and the lid upon it with the angels on it. That is called the mercy seat. And the high priest came in and sprinkled the blood. And there is the blood on the mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant. Down comes the glory between the cherubim. And here is the sinner, the high priest, with the breastplate of judgment with the 12 stones of the representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Here is the sinner. Here is the judgment. And then here is the glory of God. And the only thing that stopped them being consumed in the presence of a holy God was the blood on the mercy seat. The blood on the mercy seat. In other words, the propitiation means God's wrath is averted. Thank God. We are under the mercy of God through the blood of Jesus. His wrath has been averted from every one of us who know Christ. Brothers and sisters, tonight, if you're saved and glad you know it, would you shout amen?
Amen.
Praise God. I'll close here. I've too much material and I want to stop here. Ephesians 1 and 7, Paul says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace." Colossians 1 and 20 says, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross," Paul speaks of. Hebrews again 9 and 14 speaks of the blood of Christ which purged our conscience. Now that's different. See, your conscience says, really, that which is, it deciphers morals, good or bad. And the Bible speaks of, I'll do it some other night, it speaks of a seared conscience. It speaks of a defiled conscience, an evil conscience. And Paul says, the Hebrew writer says, who I think is Paul anyway, but he speaks of, "The blood of Christ purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God." Here the moral sense of right and wrong makes you, are you awake? Are you aware? That's what he's saying. The blood of Christ shows you when you're wrong. And you need to be saved. Are you saved tonight? Christ has shed his precious redeeming blood that you might be saved. Christ has shed his precious redeeming blood. And if I mentioned Elon Musk and every other billionaire and elitist, and them all got together, and if they took all the oil they're fighting over, and all the gold and the silver and the precious jewels and all the things of this earth and the bonds and the banks, and you know, you take them all and wrap them all together and they say, "Here, this is for a soul," it's still not enough. "What shall a profit a man if he should gain the whole world, lose his own soul?" What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Excuse me. You know what this tells me? God looks at me and my soul as the most precious commodity on this planet. And men or women are going to hell without God and without Christ and without hope in the world, thinking that they're all right. Thinking they're okay. Thinking their church has done enough. They're christened as a baby. Who wasn't? I was too. Didn't do that for me. Do you know what done it for me? Coming in repentance to the foot of the cross. And may you do so if you don't know him tonight. And if you're a Christian tonight, I trust you'll rejoice. Rejoice in the redeeming precious blood and what Christ has done for us. Billy, will you sing another piece? Come on up. Yeah, come on up.
What did we do with Jesus? We just called him Christ tonight. Then we could go out this door tonight and there's room for lost eternity. No excuse. We've heard the gospel, we've heard it, we need to see it. What are you going to do tonight? We go out through that door, friend, that we've made a choice. This man's hands are clear tonight. He's been faithful to the word of God. It's up to you. This is no peace, and then the words are going to come on the screen, the old over the cross. But I have changed the words out. So the Lord, please sing along. And think of the words as we sing them.
Yeah.
Maybe you're here tonight. You've never been to the old rugged cross. Maybe the Father's been speaking to you and you didn't know what it was. And now you understand that it's been the Holy Spirit of God. And you know you're not right with Him. You know you need to be saved. Tonight, using again the words of Peter, make your calling and your election sure. How do I know? Come to Christ. Surrender your life. Repent of your sin. We can help you. Speak with you after the meeting. Come and see us. Pray with you. Point you to the Savior if God has taken a dealing with your heart. May God bless us tonight. We're going to sing. We'll receive the Lord's offering at this point. And we'll sing an old hymn. Caroline handed me a wee bit of paper. Change to Have You Been to Jesus? Could we have that up, Evan, please? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace? Well, wait. Come on.
before he closes, we're going to sing. The King is coming.
Oh, the King is coming. The King.
wonder what it'll be like. It's just a taste, a touch of Him. If He can't move your heart, if He can't move your heart, nothing will. Nothing will. He's the center of glory. He's the center of heaven. The seraphim and the cherubim will fold their wings and bow their heads. The very sound of His name in heaven. Oh, what must it be like for here on earth, for us who have been redeemed by the blood that He shed for us? Surely our hearts, like the two on the road to Emmaus, burned with us, within us, while He talked with us by the way. And He's been here to talk with us by the way tonight. Conscious of His Spirit. Conscious of His presence, His anointing. And it's not for nothing. His anointing brings salvation. His anointing brings healing. Maybe you need a touch in your body. His anointing brings healing. His anointing lifts depression. His anointing changes. He's here. His Spirit is anointing. And brothers and sisters, friends tonight, if we were to rush, I know we have to go home. I know. But if we were to rush, listen, I'm hearing you singing, and I thought, what would heaven be like? Hear all these and singing. And Simon and Garfunkel in the back here as well. They were brilliant.
Let's get a selfie.
They were brilliant. I can just hear it in my ears, and yours are here, and all the singers. And I thought, Lord, what will it be like when we stand on that day before You? Even if I can get a glimpse of Him from afar, or He's there, I'll still praise Him with all my heart. We should be praising Him with all our hearts. Wherefore, God hath also highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every other name. That the name of? What's the name, brothers and sisters?
Jesus.
Would you shout it out loud?
Jesus.
Well, let the devil hear it.
Jesus.
Jesus. Every knee shall bow of things in heaven, of things on earth, and things under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Reach out and touch the Lord.
People stayed at home tonight. They're probably watching the old television and they're probably feeding the flesh. You're here tonight. And as the Lord says, you're feeding the Spirit. You're feeding the Spirit, man. You're feeding the Spirit, woman. And the Lord is here
to meet your need and to touch you where you are. The Lord is with us. He is here. Sing it one more time, come on. Come on, let's sing it out.
Reach on.
Love is in the Lord. Pastor Glenn, will you close for us in a word of prayer?
Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, tonight, Lord, that I can say, Lord, that the King is coming.
Amen.
And the King is coming.
Worship you.
And he's coming back for me. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Hallelujah.
Redeemed by that sacrificial
blessed
cross.
Be the name of the Lord.
Redeemed by the lovely Son
Hallelujah.
Of God.
Thank you,
and
Lord.
The King is coming
Wonderful
back for me.
Jesus.
Bought,
Hallelujah.
Ransomed with the price. By the
oh,
sinless, spotless
the
Lamb of God.
Yes,
and no matter
Lord.
What this world says, does, or thinks, it can't change it.
Amen.
Bought, ransomed,
Amen.
Redeemed
Hallelujah.
By the blood of the Lamb.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you tonight, Lord, that we've heard about the blood.
Aye,
for without
the
shedding of blood,
Aye, the
there can be no remission for the sins.
Praise
it's
the
all
Lord.
Of God. We thank you for it.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, for our pastor tonight again, Lord, who has preached in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Well, thank you, Lord, that we're so privileged, Lord,
you, Lord.
To be in this tabernacle,
yes,
to be in this tent,
love
to be
you.
Around your table,
Aye.
To be in your courts.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Lord, you're wonderful,
gather,
Lord, and we
Lord,
tell
to
you tonight
you.
That we love you, we
Aye,
praise you,
no
we
like
adore you,
Jesus.
And we bless your
Hallelujah.
Holy name. We look tonight for the skies to roll back
bless
and for
Lord.
Our Savior to come.
Aye, even so,
oh, Lord, come, we Lord, worship Jesus. Tonight, Lord, who is like
you.
God.
Oh,
who is like you, Lord? There's no name
There's
above
none like
your
the Lord.
Name, Lord.
There's none beside
and
you.
And we worship you tonight.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for today, Lord.
Yes.
We thank Bless you, Lord,
you.
For the precious shed blood of the Son of the living
Amen.
God. We thank you that you let us into your courts.
Yes.
We thank you that you put a robe of righteousness around us.
Amen.
In your righteousness,
Hallelujah.
A crown on our heads.
Yes.
And you call us kings and priests unto God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Lord, we worship
praise
you, Lord.
Lord.
You're wonderful.
Hallelujah.
And we give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor,
yes.
for only you, Lord, are worthy of it.
Are you alone?
Your mercy and
Aye,
your grace and
like
your love,
you.
Lord.
None beside you, Lord.
Where will we be without it?
Aye.
Oh, Lord, we worship
bless
you tonight.
Lord. We love you.
We bless you, Lord.
We praise your
And we
holy
pray
name.
These things in your wonderful name. Amen.
Amen. Bless us all and safe.